Okay. Well, we're starting a new series today, and it's going to be going on for a few weeks. And I think you're going to be really blessed with it. It's about the names and titles of Jesus Christ. And but it's also about how he is the Lord Jesus Christ, but his relationship to God as a son is the same relationship that we have as sons. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about the name of the Lord, and actually I'm going to be talking about how we can be strengthened in our Lord. And so this is the title we're going to be concentrating on today, is Lord. So when I say Lord, just anybody can say, what do you think of when I say Lord? Commander? Okay, what else? Boss? Yeah. How about, somebody said master? Yeah?
Royalty.
Royalty. Oh, okay. That's good. Like a king would be a lord, right? I thought about some other terms like he's party of the first part. or he's the one, right? If someone is lord, then their boss, they're the top dog. There is nobody over them, see? So those are just things to keep in your mind as we're talking about Lord. But I want to have you turn to Acts chapter 2, because this is when God made Jesus Christ Lord. He was called Master in the Gospels, and that was an acknowledgement of how he was a teacher and a rabbi, and the disciples gave him deference because he was their teacher. But God really made him Lord of all the earth and Lord over everything at this particular point. So we'll look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. Therefore, all the house of Israel should truly know that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, Lord and Christ. Now, go back up to verse 23. This is Peter talking on the day of Pentecost. And this is how come about 3,000 people believe all at one time. It's verse 23 says, this man who was set apart for this by the foreknowledge and will of God. By the will of who? You delivered into the hands of ungodly men, and you crucified and you killed. He says, they're probably just going like, what? but, verse 24, but God raised him and released the cords of Sheol or of hell, because it was not possible that he should be held captive in Sheol or in the grave. It was not possible for Jesus to be left in the grave. God raised him up from the dead. And in that resurrection of him getting up from the dead, even though he was completely buried in the grave for 3 days, 3 nights, he was raised in a glorious new body. And that's the time where God made him Lord. It's because of the resurrection that he is Lord. Now look at Romans chapter 1. It tells a little bit more about it. Same thing. Romans 1, verse 3, says, concerning his son, who was born in the flesh of the seed of the house of David, and was made known as the Son of God by power and by the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus Christ our Lord from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship among all the Gentiles, so that they would obey the faith of his name. Okay. The NET Bible, or well, somebody read King James for me, of just verse 4.
And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead.
Okay, so he was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection. Do you get it? See? The connection? He didn't have this power per se, in the exact same way until he was raised from the dead. And then it like exponentially went crazy type of power, where he became not just a teacher, not just a nice person who did a lot of miracles, but he became the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of all. The Net Bible has a really interesting translation of that. It says he was appointed, and then they put dashes in between this. The dash son dash of dash God dash in dash power. The Son of God in power. It became this Lord who was a son of God, but with power. With power that nobody had ever seen before. It's because of the resurrection. And what I really want to get to today, I want to talk to you about and to really set in my heart as well, is that we can be strengthened in the Lord, in this kind of a power. This is the source of our strength. No matter what happens around us, the source of our strength is this kind of resurrection power. Because when God made us sons and we confessed Jesus as Lord, right? And we believe God raised him from the dead. We believe God raised him from the dead. Then we were raised with him. And we were justified and we were made righteous. And all these wonderful things that God said in the manifestations about how he made us sons of God in power as well. So we have this power base that's within us. And we can be strengthened in a practical way every day if we live by this. Now, I want to tell you a little bit more about this kind of power. So you have to go over to Ephesians chapter 6. This is really something I just learned recently that has really blessed me a lot. In verse 10, it says, from now on, my brothers, be strong or be strengthened in our Lord and in the immensity of his power. King James says the power of his might, right? Well, this word immensity here, the power part, has to do with authority. The word in Aramaic is tukva, and it was used in Esther. So somebody look up Esther chapter 10, verse 2 for me. When it's talking about how King Ahasuerus had given Mordecai authority to act in his stead. And this authority is called power and might. So go ahead and read. Yes.
Esther 10, 2.
Esther 10, 2. Yeah, read it, please.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They actually wrote in the Chronicles of Media and Persia all about how King Ahasuerus had given Mordecai authority to act in his stead. He was the second in command of the whole land. So this power and the might that he had was based on the fact that he was given authority. Do you see that? So there's these two aspects of our power is, and how it's tied in with the name Lord, is that it's because of the resurrection and it has to do with authority. So, the king was the one who had given Mordecai the authority. In our day and time, we would relate it more to like a CEO of the corporation. If he's the CEO, if there's a guy who's the CEO, or a lady too, could be a lady. if they're the CEO, then if they say this is the policy, this is what's going to happen, this is what the company's going to do, this is how we're going to move, all of that, everybody else can just grab onto that and go, yeah, that's the Lord. He's the one. He's the master. So we're going to follow that and carry out his plan. A CEO is kind of like a king in our culture, right? There's a lot of authority that is vested in somebody who is the leader or the one who's the top dog. All right. So now, we have to kind of think about this verse. Go back to verse 10 again. From now on, my brothers, be strong in our Lord and in the immensity of his power, and put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the tactics of the devil or the accuser. The way we can stand against the tactics of the devil is to be strengthened. It's okay. We have this power within us. We're sons of God in power as well. But it's inside. Now, how do we get that? How do we live that? What's the means of being strengthened every day? So I was thinking about it, and it's like, okay, you have a certain amount of physical strength, but as you exercise and use like your strength and start doing things like lifting weights or doing push-ups or Pilates or whatever you do, then you get strengthened, right? It comes into where you can use it to do something. Well, that's the point of being strengthened in our Lord. It's like it's supposed to have something happen. I had a vision a long time ago that about the kind of strength that this is like the super high power drill. And you've got this wall. I think I've told you this before. There's like a wall of steel 10 feet thick, say, 10 or 15 feet thick. You can't just knock it down. But if you use this drill, which is the power and might of our Lord and the immensity of his power, it just goes right through. It's because it's not my strength or your strength. It's his strength. It's his power. He's the drill, see? And we get to be strengthened and have that come into fruition in our lives day by day by day as we do some of these things that are like exercising it. So it puts it into operation. So I want you to turn now to Colossians chapter 2, because I think there's some really beautiful keys in here that are very simple that will help us to understand how we can be strengthened in our Lord. Colossians 2, and in verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Jesus Christ, who our Lord, the Lord, walk in him. See, it's about living or putting this into operation, right? Okay, verse 7. The first thing is your roots being strengthened. What does King James say? Okay, let's separate out the rooted part for a moment, okay? Think about a plant. Like, I've been planting some new plants in my garden, and a couple of them never made it. I don't know, for whatever reason, I thought I put good dirt, I watered them, I did all this stuff, and they still just went, And then, finally, I got another plant, and I was just like, I am determined that this plant is going to survive here. So I was really concentrating on it so that I would put the water right on the roots so that the water would go way down in there, and those plants survived. And now they're making beautiful flowers, and I'm so happy. But it wasn't enough, you know, just the plant already had some roots, right? But they didn't go down. They hadn't gone down into the dirt yet. To really get strengthened inside of there, they had to spread out and get the roots to go really far down. Remember the parable of the sower, where the second one is how the seed, the word, got sowed on stony ground, and had roots just for a little while. The roots were there. It sprouted up. But then as soon as pressures and tribulations came and the sun beat on it and all these things happened, right, the plant just went, shoot. And so this is the first key to becoming strengthened, is to root ourselves in the Word of God. The Word is a seed, right? So, and make your ground so that it's got a lot of fertilizer in it, which are the promises of God. All the things that God said to us in the manifestations today were amazing, about how he's the one who's made us his sons, and he wants us to be strengthened. He wants us to be strong. He doesn't want us to be weaklings. If you don't exercise, your muscles get weak, right? Okay, so we're going to exercise. First thing, let your roots become strengthened. Then number two is built up in him. And that's, keep your finger here and just flip back to Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 16, that this is Paul's prayer for everyone, that he would allow you, according to the wealth of his glory, or the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might or with power by his Spirit. And the Aramaic goes, that in your inner man Christ would dwell in faith, and in your hearts in love, as your root and your foundation becomes strong. Okay, your root starts becoming strong because it's in, you're dwelling in the Word. You're putting the Word on in our hearts and minds. We're becoming strengthened that way. Then you get built up. All of a sudden, the plant starts growing, right? And it starts branching out and having flowers on it or fruit. It becomes built up. And it's because, and here it's talking about, see, it's strengthened with power. And that's that same word, power. Type of power by his Spirit. So the Word is the most important key. Then by his Spirit we're strengthened and built up. There's another really cool translation that I found. It's the Complete Jewish Bible, and it says, I pray that from the treasures of his glory he will empower you with inner strength by his Spirit. He will strengthen us by his Spirit, but it's on the inside. That's where we need the strengthening. It's the determination to go forward no matter what. The boldness to speak God's word, to minister to people, to everything that God wants us to do, we have to have strength for. So this is how we're going to get it. Okay, go back to Colossians. Where we were there, Colossians 2. So we had roots being strengthened, number two, built up in him, and then three is established in the faith that you have learned. Okay, faith is not always something we have to manufacture. Christ gave us his faith too. So that's part of our package inside. We have his faith. Right? So we establish ourselves. We set, we're going to stand our ground here. I'm going to have not only my roots go down, not only get the plant built up. It's like, it's going to stay there. And it'll keep producing fruit. And I'm not going to be moved. That's like that song, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree. I want to be a whole tree. I don't want to be just a little tiny little flower plant. I want to be this oak tree that is established, that's firm, that's solid, that doesn't move. See how it's, the bigger a tree would get, the more you would say, oh, wow, this tree is established. It's firm. It's not going anywhere. And if it's an oak tree, then it'll keep on producing acorns year after year after year after year after year. And the squirrels all love that, right? Okay, the next key then is the next phrase there, in which you should abound with thanksgiving. Okay, keep your finger here again and then turn over to Philippians. This was This was just so perfect with Joel's manifestation. Let's start in verse 1 of chapter 4. From now on, my beloved and dear brothers, my joy and my crown. So stand fast in our Lord. There you go. Be established, my beloved. I beg Euodias and Syntyche to have one mind in our Lord. I beg you also, my true yoke fellow, that you would help those who are toiling with me in the gospel, with Clement and with the rest of my helpers, whose names are written in the book of life. Verse 4, what does it say?
Rejoice,
rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord at all times. That's what God told us to do. So, like, if you're established, you can't just be going, oh, I'm such a great oak tree, look at me. It's not about that. It's about rejoicing and abounding in thanksgiving. Because where do we get the power from? God. Where do we get the roots from? It's all the process of being strengthened in our Lord. The strength is not ours. And if we try to rely on our own strength, it fails every time. But if we rely on His strength, then it does culminate in being able to be established. And it just causes great thanksgiving, not only on our part, but when other people see our lives, they can be thankful too for those things. Rejoicing in the Lord, and again I say rejoice, and let your meekness be known to everyone. Our Lord is near. And it goes on after that even and says, verse 7, and the peace of God that is greater than all knowledge will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When we do this, where we allow God to energize the strength and power base that we have inside and become strengthened, then there is a peace that guards our hearts and lives. It's there. You don't have to manufacture it or have to seek for it. It's the same thing like faith. You don't have to go trying to figure out, I should believe more. I should trust more. No, it's like accept what we've already been given and allow God, by way of the Lord Jesus Christ, to energize that, to put it in operation, to make it do something, and not settle. See? So that's the last key, actually. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And in verse 13, this is a really short verse, but it's got some pow to it. It's really pretty wild. Verse 13, watch, stand in the faith, act mature, and be strong. And that's be strengthened. Okay, watch. Wake up. Let's wake up. Let's not be asleep. Then number two that it's saying there is stand in the faith. That's the stand fast, stand firm, stand your ground. Don't give in. Don't give an inch. Okay, so if you have a setback, then you just go at it again. More, even more. Don't quit. And I love this part. Act mature, or quit you like men is what King James says, right? There again, that complete Jewish Bible, it says, what did it say? It says, behave like a mensch. Behave like a mensch. Be a man. Stand up. You know, be a woman too. Just put your shoulders back and your head held high and go, I am a son of God in power. And I'm not going to settle for anything less than that. I am going to walk in that and use that power every which way I can possibly use it. And then the last thing is be strengthened. See, allow God to have that power base that we have to be put into operation. Take what is rightfully ours. Now, okay, what's the purpose of being strengthened? And now we have to go over to 2 Timothy. Because this is in the story or the record where Paul is at the end of his life, and he's been in captivity for a long time. So things were, you know, I mean, he'd been in captivity and held a prisoner for at least 2 years, more than that, two to 4 years, if you count all the time he was in Caesarea and everything. And he had come before the magistrates, and there's not a lot of information about what exactly happened, but right here, verse 17 of chapter 4, it says, "And my Lord stood by me and strengthened me, that by me or in me the preaching would be completed. And all the Gentiles were here that I was rescued from the mouth of the lion." Whoa! Up until that, we didn't know that he was going to get thrown into the lion's den, right? Into the arena where they were sending Christians. But it says here that God rescued him out of the mouth of the lion. So he was able to finish his course. And yes, he died, but so is everybody else going to die at some point. It's just, can you finish your course? Fight the good fight. Don't give up. So you got to go and read verse 18. "And my Lord will rescue me from every evil work and will give me life in his kingdom that is in heaven." Eternal life, right? "To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." So the purpose of God strengthening us in this power base is so that God can get the glory. No matter what, he gets the glory. Because we all are going to have this life that never ends. We're going to be with him for eternity and get to praise him and glorify him for all of the rest of our life. Forever and ever and ever and ever goes on, right? It's not going to end. So the purpose of this strengthening and to be a son of God with power is so that God will get the glory. And there's one more verse here, Romans chapter 4. This is the record of Abraham. And Abraham had to wait quite a while to get a son, right? Remember? He did. He waited almost 25 years from the time God gave him a promise till he actually got the son. But this is what the record about him says. And verse 18, "And without hope he believed for the hope that he would be a father to a multitude of the Gentiles. As it is written, so your seed will be." God had given him this promise that he would be a father to not only like one kid, but to this multitude of nations. So verse 19 says, "And he was not weak in his faith, considering his dead body that was 100 years old and the dead womb of Sarah." He looked at his body and went, yep, it's dead. And he looked at Sarah's body and he went, yep, that's dead. He considered it. He looked at it. He looked at it straight on, see? And then he said this, "But he did not doubt the promise of God as one lacking faith, but he was strengthened." He was strengthened. He didn't have the strength himself. He was strengthened in faith and gave the glory to God. So that's the purpose. We have the source of our strength is this authoritative resurrection power. And because God made Jesus Lord, he also made it possible for us to be sons of God with power. And now we can be strengthened in that, in where our roots can get strengthened, we can get built up in him, we can be established in the faith. We can have great rejoicing because of that. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. And we can act like a mensch. Just don't give up. Just stand your ground. Don't quit. Don't quit. And the ultimate thing will be, the purpose of it is that the glory will go to God. And we will be with him forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. So God bless you.